If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. We are thankful to see this good number this morning. I'm certainly glad that we could be here. And think about the good Sunday school lesson this morning. Church cooperation, how we're to work together. And I'm thankful to belong to a church that works together. And I don't see a lot of division. There's not a lot of backbiting or murmuring one toward another. But a lot of cooperation, and that's a blessing. It's certainly a pleasant thing to be able to walk into a place that's devoted to the work of God. John chapter 1. Before we begin reading, I want to just go back and maybe lay a little bit of groundwork, because most of us have been brought up in church all our lives, and we've heard things that, you know, we understand, or at least we acknowledge this in Scripture, and we don't give a lot of thought to. There may be others that would come into church, and maybe they haven't read their Bibles. Maybe they haven't been preached to all their life. And you open up your Bible, and the Bible is a book that it takes the Spirit of God to help us to understand it. It's not just a book that you open up and begin to read like a library book, and when you get to the end, you've got it all figured out, and you've got an understanding of what's going on. And so for someone just to hear, maybe you read about Abraham, and the Bible said God told Abraham to get thee up on a mountain and offer your son, your only son Isaac. And somebody hear that and go, wait, what are you talking about? What in the world? What kind of God are y'all serving that would say something like that? We know whenever we look at it, well, it's still the blood. You know, God is showing us a picture here of the blood and how that God gave a sacrifice. God provided Himself a lamb or a ram for the offering. And so blood must be applied. And we see that as, well, God said that without blood there is no remission for sin. We understand that we're a sinner. Not everybody walks into a church house understands that they are a sinner. That is, for God to convict and His Holy Spirit to move and show a person that they are a sinner and that they're lost. But you open up and you read an Old Testament. And an Old Testament God gave, and it's all about laws. It's very, very, very bloody book. Brother Freddy, everything you read in the Old Testament seems like it's about blood. Offering sacrifices. And so, well, once upon a time, people offered sacrifices, and today we don't offer sacrifices. And, why is that? Well, if you go back and you look at the Old Testament, God gave a law so that whenever we read and look at the law, we understand that there's no way we can live up to God's standard of righteousness. That everything, God give a law for, even to wear a blended shirt, a mixture of cotton and polyester. There's a law about that. There's laws about things that give us God's standard of righteousness. And when you look at it, it is so far above what man can possibly do that it leaves you feeling like, well, if this is God's standard of righteousness, nobody can live up to that. Nobody can make that. And so what does it do? Well, Paul said whenever he looked into the law slay him. It destroyed him. He realized that, look, I am dead to sin. And there's nothing I can do about it. I can't fix it on my own. I am dead to sin. And so then we look and, you find people, every year they're offering sacrifices. They're offering up lambs. They're offering up bulls. A poor family would offer up turtle doves. God made some different laws for even different classes of people that, the poor could go offer up turtle doves to the Lord. And then they would bring it to a priest. They couldn't just go and offer it themselves. They had to bring it to a priest. And that priest had to make an offering for himself. And there had to be some blood applied to him before he was even able to offer a sacrifice for someone. Why? Because he too was a sinner. Even the high priest was a sinner. Even the high priest made mistakes. And so the law did the same thing to him. It does to me. It slayed him too. And he's dead in sin. And yet God had people offer sacrifice in obedience until Christ comes. Christ is a pivotal point in history. It's, might say, the climax of history. It's where everything comes together. And it's where everything makes sense. I don't have to offer a sacrifice today. I don't have to go and raise up a lamb and make sure that there's no spot or blemish on it, and then take it to someone and have them to slaughter this lamb. I don't have to do that. And blood be applied and all of that. So Jesus is a key point in history. And let's look, John 1, verse 29. It says here, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man that is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same saith unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descend and remain on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw him bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, after John stood unto his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And his two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Here is the key point in all of history. You have an Old Testament, and now you have Jesus coming in. And Jesus is fulfilling the law. The Bible said he fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. Everything he did was fulfilling the law. It was fulfilling the Old Testament. There were things he could not do until a certain time because of the law, and because he had to fulfill that. And so now John is pointing out to the disciples, these two disciples, but others as well. He spoke to them and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The law, in all of its specs, in all of its sacrifices, there's warnings about the law and how that you have to have a certain sacrifice. It has to be without spot. It has to be without blemish. There has to be a right time. There has to be a right place. There has to be a certain authority that had to be observed. And there must be that mediator, the priest there. And he must first offer blood for himself. Now John is pointing all eyes on Christ. That's what I want to do this morning. I want to point all eyes on Christ. Maybe you're here and you're lost. And you look and you say, there's no way that I can live up to God's standard of righteousness. What? No, there's not. I couldn't do it. Nobody here could do it. The disciples couldn't do it. Nobody else has ever been able to live up to God's standard, because God is holy. And he's so far above us. He is the creator. We are the created. His standard of righteousness is beyond us. We can't even comprehend it. And so John says, behold, and I want you to see this word, the Lamb of God. Not a Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now, we're going to go a little bit slow here at the beginning. And he says, behold. Behold, what does that mean, behold? Well, to see, to observe. To behold means to view, to watch, survey, witness, contemplate. And this is the one word I want us to see, to inspect. That's what he's saying. Behold, inspect the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. You need to look at Christ, because that's where all eyes need to be pointed. And you need to inspect Him thoroughly, because He is the one that's going to take away the sin of the world. And you go back in the Old Testament, and some, you know, they got Pharisees, they got caught up in the law, and they felt like maybe I could live up to a certain standard that I set for myself, and I can take the Word of God and I can put it, you plaster it here between my eyes, and you know, I can make sure that I don't go any more than just a few hundred feet on Sunday, because a Sabbath day's journey, just a short distance, and you know, whatever to the well and back was, I believe that's a Sabbath day's journey. And I can make sure that I do all these things. And Jesus come along, He said, you whited walls, you whited sepulchres, you vipers, you hypocrites. Why did He call them hypocrites? Because even they knew in their heart that they were not able to live up to God's standard. You remember the ones that wanted to stone the lady? Different men, they... Jesus said, well, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. And they all dropped their rocks. They went back home. Because they knew in their own heart, we can't live up to what God expects. And so you have, in the Old Testament, you have people that they were looking forward to Christ coming. What did Job say? I know my Redeemer liveth. Well, what did the pagan king that was going to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire say? There's one walking in that likened to the Son of God. Who showed him that? How did he know what the Son of God looked like? Why did he say it that way? Why is it that other versions of the Bible tear that down and say Son of the Gods? Because that was Holy Spirit conviction. God revealed to him the Savior. And God did that in the Old Testament. And so all the blood, all the sacrifice, just obedience to God's commandment until the Savior comes. And now the Lamb that's going to take away the sins of the world has come. And you need to inspect Him. You need to look upon Him. There's a way that God will take away the sins, your sins and my sins and the world's sins, and that's going to be through this man. This man that walks before your eyes, Jesus, He is God's sacrificial lamb. So by this point in history, I'm sure literally millions of lambs and bulls and all that had been taken to the slaughter. Blood had been spilled countless times. And each one... I know there was a time whenever Israel got discouraged with offerings and they started bringing the lame and the sick and all of that. But each one, it was the priest's job, and really the people that raised the sheep, it was their job to inspect, to make sure that sheep didn't have any blemish, make sure it didn't have any spot, make sure it was the best of the flock that you had, and you brought this and you dedicated this unto the Lord. And I'm sure that that's millions and millions that they've done this. And not one, from the lamest of the lame to the purest of the pure, not one of those were pure enough to pay for sin. Not one of them was acceptable enough to pay a sin debt. It all pointed to Christ. Christ would be the lamb that take away sins of the world. So I want to encourage you, especially if you're lost here this morning, to inspect Christ. He is the one that took away, that taketh away, the sins of the entire world. And a lot of times people that are lost, they want to look at everything else. They look at other people and how they live. And they, well, I can live like that. It has nothing to do with being saved. You may look at somebody here and say, well, I tell you what, old brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, they're one thing on Sunday. I hope you don't say that, but you might say, they're one thing on Sunday and there's something else different on Monday. Why are your eyes on what man's able to do anyway? I mean, at best, we're human. At the very best we can do, we're still human. You're not going to ever hear a preacher that's perfect. You're not going to ever look at a Christian this side of heaven that's absolutely without sin. Sometimes those who are lost, they look at themselves and what they're able to do and what they're able to accomplish and what they're able to understand and what they're able to offer God and what they're able to figure out and all this. Get your eyes off all that. All you need to do this morning is inspect the Lamb of God. You need to behold the Lamb of God because He's the one that takes away the sins of the world. Not me, not you, not anybody else. He is the one that taketh away the sins of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 1. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and of gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. How are we redeemed? How can I stand before you saved this morning? How can I stand before you able to preach this morning? How is it anybody in this room can be redeemed of sin? How can we be saved? He said, it's not through silver and gold. You can't buy your way there. It's not through our own righteousness. This is filthy rags in the sight of God. It's not through what I'm able to do. It's not through what I'm able to figure out. It's not through my own intellect. It's not because God likes me more than He likes you. How can I stand before you saved? How can you that are lost be saved this morning? Well, it's not through the blood of goats or lambs. You can mark this verse down. Hebrews 10 verse 4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It's not possible. Think about that. All those bulls, all those goats, all them turtle doves, all that blood shed. And God said, it's not possible for them to take away not one sin. It's not possible. Jesus had to come. It was in the script. It was already preordained before the world was created. Jesus would come, die for man. The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God had already decided Jesus was going to come and die. Christ is the spotless Lamb, and He is the only one that could or can pay the debt of sin. He's the only one. So if you're unsaved, I want you to inspect Him this morning. Look Him over real good. I want you to see through eyes of faith the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I want you to see Jesus, the Son of God, and how that there's no spot in Him. He never made a mistake. He never had an evil thought. He never did anything but the will of God. That's all. He even died. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He hung on the cross while they crucified Him. Father, forgive them. With all the anger that would be inside of us, I tell you, if somebody nailed me to a cross, if I could get my hands off of there, I'd want to wring his neck. That's me. That's human. That's how I would feel. But Christ, He's hanging on the cross. He looks down upon them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's why God allowed Christ to die for us. Because He can do it. He did it. And I want you to see that through eyes of faith. Jesus hung upon the cross. Jesus reach God's standard of righteousness, Jesus kept every jot and tittle of the law. And listen to this, the same law that reveals our sin revealed His purity. The same law that shows me I can't live up to God's standard. You can't. That same law, Jesus overcome it. He conquered it. He fulfilled it. And so meeting God's standard of righteousness. Every requirement God has, His standard of perfection, was carried out through Jesus Christ. So Jesus became our mediator. He became our high priest. After a different order. I don't know if I could explain, or I'm not going to take the time certainly this morning to even touch on it much. But Jesus became a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He was not your typical priest. He was not the Levitical priesthood of that bloodline. He was after the order of Melchizedek. He became the high priest. And He's able to take and offer His blood for payment for your sin and for my sin and for the world's sin. He offered His own blood. I know a lot of this gets over my head, Brother Mike, when I stop and think about it. But at the same time, that's what He done. And now He can mediate between us and God, because now He knows what it's like to walk a mile in my shoes. He knows what it's like to be human, because He was human. He knows what it feels like to have pain. He knows what it's like to have a broken heart. He knows what it's like to be tempted with sin. And so He can look upon a crowd and say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And God said, "Okay, you understand. You've been there." So He can mediate between us. And so He met every requirement God asked. Jesus became our mediator. He offered His own blood. He paid it all. He finished the plan of salvation. And we are redeemed through that precious blood of Christ. So whenever you're here and you're not one that studied your Bible or looked at it very much, and you hear about the blood, and oh, it's so bloody, and you know people out in the world and Hollywood and all them, they want to rag on Christians and say, "Y'all believe in a God that's all about blood and killing and all that." Listen, they just don't understand. All that blood pointed to Jesus, our Savior. And the law and all its requirements pointed to Jesus and how much we need Him. Inspect Him thoroughly this morning, because He is the Lamb that God accepted. He's the Lamb that if you will put your faith in Christ, He will save you to the uttermost. Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I know we just read this not too long ago. We're going to read it again, at least part of it. Isaiah 53 in verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. At least 400 years before Jesus ever come, lived on this earth, Isaiah was telling us all about it. Who were they looking to? Brother Richard, they wasn't, those that were saved, they wasn't looking for the sheep to save them. They were looking to the Lamb of God that was going to take away the sins of the world. They believed in a Christ to come. We believe in a Christ that has come. Just a different point in history is all. They didn't get saved some kind of different way, a different manner, different standard. Look at verse 10. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I've asked you this morning to inspect the Savior. Inspect and look over the Lamb of God real good. Is he pure enough that you'd be willing to offer him for your sin? Are you willing to offer Christ to God for your sins? God is satisfied with him. That's what it says. Whenever God looked down upon Jesus and the sacrifice he offered, he was satisfied. It's good enough. I will accept that. That will justify many because he has just paid for their iniquities. Of course, this was a prophecy. So he has paid for our iniquities. He finished it. He even told us on Calvary, didn't he? It is finished. It's finished. God has seen the Lamb. It pleased him. Not that God looked upon it. He enjoyed seeing that suffering. But God looked upon it and he said, I'm satisfied that that will pay for sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That'll pay for sin. So he bore your iniquities upon Calvary. It's still the blood that saves from sin. It always has been the blood. It's always been the spotless Lamb of God, and it always will be. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, our high priest. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Once for all. And he's able to save you to the uttermost if you'll trust him. Verse 26 again, it says, he became us. Listen to this now. He became us. He is holy. He's harmless. This is Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. You see some of you looking. And it says he's undefiled. And this is what I want you to get, because this is very, very important. He's undefiled, separate from sinners. Christ was different than what we are. Christ did what we cannot do. He's separate from sinners. And so inspect him, and when you see he's worthy, trust him as your Savior. Jesus is the gospel, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. If you will believe in Christ this morning, he will save you. Ask for something.